This is Christ Together Radio. For the next hour, listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy discuss how God is working in the Church of Western New York. God is on a mission in Buffalo, and we want you to hear about what is happening and where it's happening, and join in. So grab that second cup of coffee and listen in to Christ Together Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson. I'll be kind of walking you through what happens today on Christ Together Radio. We had a great initial program last week with Ryan Cozy and Dan Trippi in studio, and they've joined me again today. Ryan is the co-host, so he's going to be joining me every week.
Hopefully so.
Hopefully. And so Ryan is the pastor of Missional Living at the chapel, helping people engage with the gospel as they go throughout life, essentially. And he also directs the Christ Together Network in Western New York. Just some contact info that I think I missed last week. If you need to get in touch with Ryan or you want to know more about Christ Together, it's christtogether.org. And then just click on the Northeast region, and that'll put you in contact with Ryan if you have some. If you just want to check out what Christ Together is, if you're a pastor listening, or if you think your pastor would be interested in joining with the Western New York Church and Christ Together, just go to christtogether.org and click on the Northeast. Also, if you have questions for us and you need, you want to run something by Ryan or myself, or something that Dan said last week or we'll say this week, you can email us at ctr@wdcxradio.com. That's ctr@wdcxradio.com. We're kind of picking up part two from what we talked about last week. We hit on leadership and what God wants to do through his church and God on mission. And then we kind of ended up with what I really enjoyed was some practical things that people can do to start letting God work through them as they rub up against people, as we say, in the world that they're in and their sphere of influence and what they do through their life and engaging with God on mission. And I want to get a little deeper into what that looks like for people and how they can begin to live a life that is on purpose for God's mission. I think that is a huge component, as we all agree,
right,
a huge component of what it means for gospel saturation. Let's start there.
Yeah.
Ryan, maybe I can throw this to you. That word gospel saturation, we all know what it means, but someone who doesn't talk about this stuff all the time, what does gospel saturation mean?
Yeah, so this idea is, you know, when you hear churches that are connected to the Church of Western New York, many of the churches, well, they'll have a mission statement, which is that we want to see every man, woman, child have repeated opportunities to hear, see, and respond to the gospel message. Well, we actually believe that we want to see the full saturation of the gospel happen to 1.2 million people in Western New York. And what I mean by that is we want for every single person in this region to have repeated opportunities to hear, see, and respond to the gospel. Mm-hmm. When we talk about gospel saturation, that's what we're talking about. Now, the deeper level of that is the idea that repeated opportunities for the gospel, they do present themselves in different ways. And so kind of ways that we kind of focus on that, or we try to direct people toward making sure that they're aware of, is one, intentional presence. So your intentional relational presence represents the gospel. You're not perfect, but you are someone who is an ambassador of Christ. And God has placed you in all sorts of places. He's given you the job he's given you. He's given you the family he's given you. I know some people may dispute that, but it's he doesn't make mistakes, right, when he places you geographically, relationally, in your spheres of influence. And so one of the ways that you can do that is you can relationally be present with them. In addition to that, part of saturation involves the proclamation of the gospel. And so we talk about the ability to tell your grace story. That's one way to do that. Like, you talk about how the gospel has changed you, and the reality of what your life looked like before you gave your life fully to Jesus, what your life looked like at that moment when you gave your life to Jesus, and what does it look like since then? You know, it's not perfect, but how has God been changing you? How has he been sanctifying you? So we talk about proclamation, and you can do that through your grace story, but you could also do it through just other ways to walk people through the gospel. The way in which I came to know Jesus in 147 Batch Elder Hall in February of 1997 at Bowling Green State University was the Romans Road. So just people being equipped to share the gospel. So that's a part of saturation. And then finally, living in the hope of conversion, that you're actually prepared that there may be a moment where someone says, I'm convinced of this gospel. What do I need to do? What do I need to do now that I want to be in relationship with Jesus? What does that look like? You actually could lead them in that process. Mm-hmm. And so the saturation, it really is the belief that 1.2 million people are the responsibility of the Church of Western New York. Mm-hmm. And how we saturate is through the continued effort being relationally present, giving repeated proclamation in different ways, and living in the hope that when people are ready, when God's irresistible grace has drawn people, mm-hmm. we are ready to help them on ramp to a relationship with Christ.
Great answer. This is Christ Together Radio. We're going to take a quick break, and then we kind of set up the conversation for today, gospel saturation, missional living, and how we as believers can live out our faith, how that happens through the church and even in the local church setting. And this is something that Dan can speak to in just a few minutes. Dan Trippi is our guest today. He's the lead pastor of Restoration Church, and Ryan Cozy and myself, Brett Larson, co-hosting today on Christ Together Radio. Our email, ctr@wdcxradio.com. That's ctr@wdcxradio.com. And if you're interested in Christ Together or even Christ Together Radio, go to the WDCX website and click on the CTR Radio link under programs, and you'll get some information on the show. And it can also connect you to the Christ Together Network and Ryan and what's going on there in the church. So we'll be back right after this. Looking forward to talking with you guys and interacting with you on Christ Together Radio.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio, where talk show hosts and producers have hair. That's right, Boron. We got some hair down in here.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson, hosting today with Ryan Cozy. Ryan is the pastor of missional living at the chapel at Cross Point. And Dan Trippi joins us in studio. He's the lead pastor at Restoration Church, right here in the Amherst area, and also with some outlaying efforts in Lancaster and
working in the city of Buffalo.
So a lot of stuff happening, all part of the Christ Together Network of churches in Western New York, or the Western New York expression of the Christ Together Network. Actually, we have a hashtag, right, for that. It's Church of WNY, right?
Yeah. So we're, you know, for Christ Together, that's the national gathering of churches that we're connected to. And it seems to us, as God has been drawing partners together, we've begun to talk regularly about being a part of the Church of Western New York. Mm-hmm. And so that's just, it's kind of just been evolving and like, okay, yeah, that sounds right.
So in the cool age of hashtags, I'm doing the hashtag symbol with my hands here.
Church of WNY.
Church of WNY. So if you ever want to just throw something out to the people who are kind of involved in this, hashtag that on your Twitter account or whatever.
Absolutely.
But this is a program that was kind of designed to just bring to the forefront what God is doing in the churches of Western New York, and a number of churches in Western New York. Doesn't represent every church, obviously, but our goal is that churches come together to engage in God's mission and pool resources and pool things and unite around the things that unite us and not divide around the things that divide us. And I think that's to me very encouraging to watch how God is working through a number of different denominational expressions to come together to reach people with the gospel in Western New York. So that's kind of the impetus for this program called Christ Together Radio, heard every Sunday at 11 a.m. We talked about a number of things last week regarding missional engagement and how to engage people on mission. We're kind of taking that today. Ryan just explained to us what gospel saturation really means. And we have the kind of the academic understanding of what that means. How hard is this, Dan, to get people engaged or get people fired up about as a local church pastor? I mean, is this something that, like, your goal is this and then everything you do leads up to this? How hard is it to get people started in this process?
Well, I think it comes from how we would approach it is we use the word agitation a lot. So it's something that I don't know if we start at a point and say start here and then move towards this, or it's something that we continually are agitating. So one of the disciplines or rhythms that we've kind of worked into our congregation is that every one of our small groups or missional communities has somebody who seems to have a proclivity towards evangelization, mm-hmm. somebody who has that passion for that. We call those people My Circle Catalysts. Mm-hmm. And then every week as part of their weekly gathering, that person is actually holding an accountability time in the weekly gathering where they're asking the questions, who are you praying for? How do we pray for that person? Have you had an opportunity to share the gospel with them to make proclamation, or how have you had presence in that person's life? Mm-hmm. So we are constantly making that part of the rhythm mm-hmm. of the church. So mm-hmm.
What are some of the big hurdles that we face in doing this? We talked during the break here, we were just bouncing some things around. And one of the things that came up is like just people's basic theology. I mean, it's one of the things that we in the Christ Together Network, we talk about is the Lucian Covenant, mm-hmm. which is kind of what it means to be missional. It kind of gets the main things, and then what it means to missionally engage together as churches. But for people who don't have any clue or care what that is, what are some of the hurdles, and maybe Dan or Ryan, either one, what are some of the hurdles in today's culture that we have to get over first in our discipleship process before people can really engage in mission? I mean, Paul was witnessing to people within a month or two of his conversion experience. So is it something that people can just go out and try now, or is it culture different now? What does it look like?
Yeah, so
you're both like,
that's a deep question. Yeah. Let me just speak to kind of non-negotiables real quick, and mm-hmm. then you know, that's the theology part of it. I think is something that that you can speak to pretty well. You know, when it comes to churches that are coming together, the reality is, if saturation is the outcome, well, there have to be some like core beliefs of what we're not willing to negotiate. Mm-hmm. The Trinity is mysterious, but it's the real deal.
Right.
Jesus is not a way to God. He is the way to God. The Bible, it's authoritative. It is God's word, mm-hmm. and it is life, and we need to read it as it is authoritative in our life. We come up under God's word. And Jesus can forgive all sin. Mm-hmm. And so if you take that in addition to, and we need to be serious about the lostness of our mm-hmm. geography, these are non-negotiables for those in the Church of Western.
And Dan, if we don't get this stuff right, I mean, our gospel saturation is kind of like it's an ethereal, pointless thing.
It's not a gospel.
Right.
So if we don't preach that Jesus will come to judge the living and the dead, right, yeah. then we don't have, then we have news, but it may not be good news. The good news is that Christ paid our sin debt. He gives to us his righteousness, and he is going to come back and gather his church. And when you ask the question, you know, what's the starting point? I think the mm-hmm. starting point is having the urgency of that God is going to judge, mm-hmm. right? And that we need to make sure that we have carried out what he has left with us in the Great Commission, that we are continually preaching and proclaiming and living in presence with people.
Okay, so that's not a super popular message. I kind of want to talk about that for a minute. I mean, let's kind of get a little messy.
You're the
here.
Leader.
Let's let's throw Dan on the burner here. But you started out saying, you know, God is going to judge. And man, in our culture, that just rubs people the wrong way, right? I mean, that's just like really...
Well, sure.
It sounds mean.
It sounds mean, but don't you want him to judge?
Right.
I mean, okay. Somebody breaks into your house, they steal your wife's purse, or they do something horrible to you. Don't we all want judgment? So, and to a degree, we're fearful to talk about that. But I think if we can press in a little bit, we'll find mm-hmm. that everybody actually likes that idea, although and initially it's horrific. And then we stop and we think about it. We look at all mm-hmm. the injustice in the world, and we look mm-hmm. at what's going on, and we go, yeah, you want a God who judges. Mm-hmm. So helping people to understand one thing as well, the culture that we live in postmodernity, mm-hmm. And it's people are often talking about their experience, right? Existential experience is mm-hmm. what we're talking about. I think that actually opens a window for us to talk about Christ and what he has done. I think we're often walking with such fear that, well, if I say this, it's going to be offensive or not. But I find more often than not, when we engage in relationship and we're having thoughtful relationship, and I care for you as a person first, we do live in a society where people are constantly exchanging ideas. And it's very much like Paul, you know, in Mars Hill. There's an exchange of ideas, and let me speak to you this God that I know. I think it's much more open than people want to give credit to.
Ryan, do you have a thought there?
Yeah, no, I really echo a lot of what he has to say here. The reality is when we're looking at representing the Church of Western New York, those non-negotiables are very important. And people have asked, like, well, what if somebody comes into a collection of churches that does not believe that? You know, like, do you, like, outcast them? And, like, well, no, but it becomes very clear that, look, outcome, saturation. Mm-hmm. Non-negotiables, these are the non-negotiables. Mm-hmm. And they're non-negotiables for a reason.
Right.
You know, so, but yeah, Jesus was a great guy. Mm-hmm. Well, he was. He was also the Son of God. Mm-hmm. And like it's going to be very difficult for us to partner together towards saturation, because saturation of what? And you say, well, you have news. We don't have the good news at that point. And I would say, and that's one of the challenging things, is there is a ton of noise in the culture.
Right.
And so a lot of times there are things that represent the kingdom that may not directly be tethered to an exclusivity of the kingdom. So social justice can be one of those things. Like, we want for good things to happen for the sake of the community. But if somebody comes to me and says, what is your motivation for doing this good? Mm-hmm. It's not because I'm good, and it's not because I really just want Western New York to be a better place. It's because I have been compelled by the gospel to care. The only good thing that comes out of me is because of the gospel, and I must give testimony of the gospel as changing my life. Because anything else, honestly, without the gospel, it's just wicked and it's depraved in my life. Like, I can't bring good without the gospel, mm-hmm. and I must point people to the good of the gospel. And the good of the gospel is the exclusivity of the gospel. Even though a lot of people don't like that, I believe it to be true, and I will work with those who believe the same.
A couple things popped into my head as you were speaking, and one of those is the importance of the responsibility of the church to be teaching these important things that matter, so that we're not just sharing news, we're sharing good news, and that the end result of kind of putting all of these main things, the main important theological points together, is that it's good news, and that flows out of that. We talked about our culture,
postmodernity.
You gave it to me now. Yeah. So no, and our postmodern culture, that we have a very difficult time teaching that. One of the things inside the church is time. We no longer have as much of young people coming through Sunday school classes. It's just not possible in our context, right? So how do we get people? Let's say they accept the gospel. They come into the church. And they begin sitting in pews, and is an hour on Sunday or maybe 45-minute message enough to ground them in real truths that matter? And how do we fix this? I'm going to lead into this. I'm setting you up, Ryan, here for this discipleship
issue. The ball is on the tee.
Yeah, that's right. For this discipleship issue, like, how do we disciple people in the things that matter so that we don't have a distorted message?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so in the first episode, we talked about how I may mention that in the data that we've looked at nationally, and that includes churches in Western New York, Dan's taken his church through this. We've mm-hmm. taken our church through it. And but there's been this disconnect between spiritual formation and evangelization. And collectively, they in my mind, when you look at the synoptics, you look at John and you look at Acts, like, those were meant to be together. And so in the disconnect, there's been this the outsourcing of evangelization,
right.
and spiritual formation kind of gets lost in our covetousness as a culture of knowledge. I know more than you do, but you know, gnosis is not it's not necessarily the same as letting your like what your knowledge base is, making sure your heart is in alignment and praxis of what you already know. So discipleship becomes incredibly important in this process. Well, important toward what? Well, toward having an understanding of bringing back the need for spiritual formation and not separating that from the compelling toward lostness, the evangelization of the reason. So for us, in our context, What we've found is, you know, given that our culture, there's a lot of noise in our culture. And I'm going to go a step further and you know, hopefully I don't offend people, but even within Christian culture, the book industry, the podcast industry, the radio show industry, you know, like the reality
is, I know,
I'm sorry, a little close to home, but the reality is there's so much noise. And I'm not saying that that noise isn't good. I'm saying what happens is we lose focus. And so what we've attempted to do in our context, in our local church, is we're reducing the noise and we're highlighting discipleship. What's been interesting about this is that there have been those who are like, yeah, I get that. I'm already a disciple. And well, tell me what a disciple is. And it's very hard for people to tell you what a disciple is. So we have found in Western New York, which tends to be, you know, and I don't mean this negatively, I'm from Northeast Ohio, like simple people.
Yeah, you're from the same kind of city, Rust Belt City.
We're simple people. Right. So simple language or common language becomes really important to us. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the mission is every man, woman, and child. How do we do that? We make disciples. Well, in our church, what's a disciple? Very simply, a disciple is someone who is daily following Christ and compelling others to do the same. So you're daily following Christ, you're compelling other believers to live like you. You're daily following Christ, you're compelling lost people to take a look at the gospel in a different way. So underneath that, in discipleship, for us as a church and for those like Restoration, there have been a number of us who have been impacted by the life of a guy named Dwight Smith, a missiologist. And so he through his input with Saturation Church Planning, basically he began to explain to us, look, as you're cultivating the life of a disciple, there's five really important things that need to happen in the life of a disciple, all of which flow out of the first one, which is intimacy with God. Mm. So as you're cultivating a disciple, you need to make sure that there is intimacy with God in their life. When there's intimacy with God, there is also a need to be in Christ-like relationships. There's a need for you to understand your gifts and to use them for the glory of God. There's a need for you to understand your story of grace and how when you tell it, it brings God glory. And there's an overarching need for you to steward your life well. Mm-hmm. So we, you know, for us, that language, we can make that language pretty simple. Intimacy with God, Christ-like relationships, know your gifts, know your story, steward your life. Mm. And then when we do that, the outflow of that spiritual formation, the outflow of that is you're going to care about lost people. And, you know, we've been heavily impacted. I'm pointing to Dan. We've been impacted by a training by a guy, a friend of ours, a dear friend of ours, Pastor Jim Murphy, who's gifted and as an evangelist attached to the local church. And he talks about that, the willingness to be missional. He calls it his My Circle training. And when we have those spiritual formation indicators, the outflow of that is that you're going to identify, you're going to pray, you're going to engage, and you're going to share the gospel with people that are far from God. Mm-hmm. And so that's where we see the wedding of formation back with evangelization.
You're listening to Christ Together Radio. That was Ryan Cozy. He's my co-host, and I'm Brett Larson, the general manager of WDCX. We're here with lead pastor of Restoration Church, Dan Trippi. We're talking about missional engagement, discipleship. If you want to get in contact with us, email us at ctr@wdcxradio.com or go to the WDCX website, go under programs and look at Christ Together Radio. Man, that'll give you all the information you need. We're going to be right back after this. And Dan, I want to hear what you have to say regarding discipleship, missional living, and things of that nature.
This is Christ Together Radio, a program where we help you join God on His mission. Listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy bring you into the roundtable discussion of what God is doing through the Church of Western New York.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson, and sitting here with Ryan Cozy, my co-host, and Dan Trippi, our guest in studio this week. Join us every Sunday, by the way, at 11 a.m. from now until whenever we stop doing this. I don't know when that will be, Ryan, but
when Jesus comes back.
That's right. We will be here every Sunday at 11 a.m. and join us as we talk about how God is moving throughout Western New York, what that looks like for the church, what that looks like for you as you begin to engage in God's mission. And as this show goes on and as more and more programs become a part of your daily life. We want to hear what you have to say. And if you have questions, or if you're wondering, hey, this is confusing me, I have a question about something I heard on Christ Together Radio, you can email us and we'll get back to you. We'll maybe even talk about your question on air. That's ctr@wdcxradio.com, or go to the WDCX website, look under programs, and you'll find Christ Together Radio, and you'll get everything you need there. We're really interested in just helping the Church of Western New York with what we talked about today, gospel saturation, that is taking the gospel to everybody that lives within this area, 1.2 million people. Dan Trippi is a big part of that. And Dan, Ryan talked for quite a bit there about discipleship, what it looks like, what spiritual formation looks like, and as a believer goes through the processes. What are your thoughts on missional living, discipleship, and how that plays out in a current church context?
Yeah, absolutely. Everything that Ryan said, we're trying to put into practice as well. And one piece with that additionally is accountability. So how we've kind of formulated this, and we can make this available to your listeners as well. We took those five outcomes of a disciple, and we actually put those on a keychain. It sounds silly, but it's practical
it's
enough.
Beautiful keychain.
So you can, yeah, it's, and you too can have one for a very low price, though. But what we did is
some holy water.
we try to get every member of our church to be in a missional community, but then from that also to be in a relationship with the two or three other people where we actually pull out this keychain. They meet every week or every other week, however it works in their schedule, and just start to keep each other accountable. You know, how is your intimacy with God? How have your relations been? Have you had an opportunity to share this week? You know, how are you stewarding your life? How are you doing with those habits? You know, so we... A big part of discipleship is God has so arranged this thing that we have to do it in community. And one of the great challenges I think that we face is a Western culture, and definitely in the Western church, is this radical individualism that thinks, you know, I can do this Christian thing on my own. So we're not going to be missional if we are not accountable to the local church and to the men and women in that local church.
Do you guys have a hard time, this is kind of maybe a left turn here, but do you have a hard time getting people involved in small groups in your church context?
Well, we track it regularly. So, you know, we're a larger church. Yeah. Typically we see in mega, I hate using this phrase, but
I
mega
know.
Churches,
yeah.
Usually small group participation is below 40%.
Right.
We're 46% involved in we call them circle groups. And we do see that when people serve and when they're in community, their missional engagement is higher. You know,
right.
They're concerned.
It's a direct
for
correlation,
losses.
As Dan was saying, between that accountability that you're going to see them this week and you better have done something, or you're going to feel awkward.
Yeah.
You know,
for Dan, it might be different. I don't remember the stats exactly.
I think the last time that we had, we went through the survey, we were slightly higher. I think we were at like 70%.
Wow.
Since then we got really ruthless about, getting into groups of twos and threes. And we found that was a little more accessible to people's schedules. So you could do that. It's easier to meet for somebody for coffee for an hour, 30 minutes a week, something like that. We're set to survey that again, but at last tick, we were at about 70% on that.
Cause I think I know how you guys believe in this area, or kind of how you think regarding small groups. But I think that, we've got to make this a real focus of churches, because if it doesn't happen like this, then we're at risk of kind of just loose church going 1 hour a week on Sunday. And we all know that the days of Sunday school and walking to church and you know, everybody coming together to do roofing on the church and all that, those are over in our current culture. It's just people are way too busy and, you know, families are way too busy for that to happen. So it's got to happen through small groups. And what I found in my experience, and it probably what you have, is if it's just one of the ministries of your church, it's just gonna kind of be mediocre, and it's gonna be out there in left field. But it's gotta be like the main thing you do, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's for us, it's definitely a part of the full mobilization of all of God's people to reach all of the lost, okay? But, you know, here's what you got to be careful of in small group or, you know, this is my favorite, like people call it small. Well, we're not small groups. We're organic missional hubs. We're you know, fusion group, whatever you call small groups.
Yeah.
God loves
living
you.
In community.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, the one of the things we have to be very careful of, and we see this regularly, is when in doubt, when people are uncertain as to what small groups are supposed to do, it tends to focus on one of two things, okay? One is community, because people feel disconnected.
Right.
Okay, so hey, that's great.
Yeah.
Community is important. Or it tends to focus on, well, we're just going to study God's word together. And now, is that wrong? No, it's not. But there's almost this trifecta of accountability, that like a healthy small group, if they have a good focus on keeping accountable for community, because you want to be close, you want to grow close to God, grow close to each other, you want to be studying God's word and growing in your formation, but you don't want to lose sight of the mission, which is joining God on Missio Dei, that, you know, every man, woman, child, like these groups cannot not be concerned in keeping us accountable to lostness. And that's something that Dan's group is targeting and working toward. And that's something, even in a large church like ours, we're trying. I mean, it is painfully clear to us that there's a discipleship issue. Small groups can be a very important part of that. Mm-hmm. But just taking existing groups and helping them make sure they're shining the light on community formation and mission, not an easy task, but certainly one we need to be engaged in.
And part of that comes, I think, as you structure as leaders as well. So a leadership team that's structured in such a way that you have these different voices, you're going to have people on your team their heart beats for more pastoral care. You have some people on your team that are going to have more of a theological, like, I want to teach. On our team, Jim Murphy, who you've just mentioned, who actually produced the My Circle curriculum, he's actually moving to Buffalo and will be joining our team to help us to keep driving at this idea of saturation of the region and actually be a resource to the church at Western New York to help any other church agitate, as I like to use the word agitation, that we have to be having these voices. So I would say, if you don't have that voice in your church, on your leadership team, then borrow it. Borrow it from the church in Buffalo at some point.
That is cool. That's exactly what this is kind of shaping up like I had hoped, Ryan, where we're just kind of like sitting around. We all have coffee. We really do have coffee. It's not fake.
It's here, good Keurig homebrew.
You can hear it right here, except for Dan. He's high end.
Yeah.
He's got high-end glasses, a sport coat, and Starbucks. And so he's kind of high-end. He's our professor today. So, this is really shaping up how I had hoped it did. It's kind of sitting around having some coffee and just talking about what it looks like. And with the gym coming to Western New York. Okay, this is huge. And this may seem like a simple question to you guys, because, like, of course you would. But the fact that a church is hiring somebody to bring into Western New York, obviously it's for their church, but that he's saying, hey, this is for the Church of Western New York to benefit from. I don't think, well, maybe you do, you realize how huge that is and how different that is from years ago in the church, growing up in the church. I mean, I played in the Christian Athletic League 25 years ago in Western New York, and Western New York's always had a pretty good church community. But it was like, you know, our church versus yours. And that was just, softball was like a manifestation of that. And there were like little fights in softball. It's like, this isn't right, guys. But, you know, it's like kind of our church versus your church. And all of the sudden, over 10 years of hard work, it's really not all of the sudden, churches are coming together and pastors like Dan, and there's some others too, who are investing in the big church to carry out this mission. So it's not just, we're not just sitting around talking about this. Like, you're putting dollars, because this guy, like, Jim's not moving here to, you know, to work somewhere else and just help in the church. He's coming here to feed his family too, or whatever. And so this is huge. It really is. And is this something that's happening in other cities? Ryan, you're part of the Christ Together nationally. Is this something that's happening everywhere? Or
Yes, I definitely. I see Jim as a resource to the region for sure. I've been privileged to be a friend of his for a number of years now. So when I heard he was coming, I thought, man, thank you, Lord. I mean, because I know his gift mix, but I also know that the position of restoration is to be a resource to the Church of Western New York. And so, I mean, that was even part of why I personally was hired 8 years ago at the chapel was, you know, I remember sitting down with Daryl Largis, who's, you know, he's gone on to be with the Lord, and we miss him greatly. But, man, it's just tough to even say. But when he hired me, you know, he said, look, if you're okay with vagity as a concept, that's going to be important to this job. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, we just know that we need this sort of thinking in the region. We don't know what that's going to look like, but we want you to be a resource to other churches in the region. And so, you know, Jim's doing that. This happens in Austin. This happens mm-hmm. in Chicago. It happens in other places throughout the country where we're connected to. Yes, I would like to think that just seeing this over the last 8 to 10 years, God is doing something really special here.
Yeah.
Now some of the challenges of that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and I want people to hear this. Does it mean that's we've seen the full realization of that? No. You know, crossing context, urban core. And we haven't seen that necessarily. Like, we're working toward that.
Urban core, you mean the inner city,
city of Buffalo. The urban community. Absolutely.
The African-American community.
African-American community. So we've begun the process of walking in relationship. And I got to be honest with you. Like, there's some humbling conversations to be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
And so God is waking us up to, you know, looking at the region as a whole, positioning resources as a whole. Mm-hmm. And God's, he's helping us to do that better. But I think Jim is going to be another asset for the Church of Western New York. And I'm just proud of people like Restoration who are living that way.
Well, we're going to talk more about, I'm excited about the show in the future weeks, because we're going to talk more about some of the hurdles that need to be overcome. And we're going to kind of get real with people and invite people into the conversation that may have some hard things for us to hear, but that we need to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we don't get anywhere unless we start listening. One of the first rules, even with sharing the gospel with people, is to start to listen to people. And so I'm excited about that. Even next week, we're going to have John Longwell on, pastor of Grace Church, and Josh Hamlin, pastor of New Covenant Tabernacle Assembly of God Church, and a former Baptist church coming mm-hmm. together and with Christ together. And how does that look? And I think I'm really looking forward to those conversations. We're going to be back in just a minute. We'll continue on with this conversation. This is Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson with Ryan Cozy, my co-host. Our guest in studio, Dan Trippi of Restoration Church. If you want to email us at ctr@wdcxradio.com, send us a question. We'll be glad to answer it. Or look us up on the WDCX website, wdcxradio.com.
Remember when R2-D2 had a special message for Obi-Wan? Well, the gospel is kind of like that, but it's not a secret, and it's from God, and it's life-changing, and, well, okay, so it's nothing like that, but it's really awesome, and God is doing great things in Western New York. Here's Ryan Cozy and Brett Larson.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson. I'm the general manager of WDCX, and I'm kind of co-hosting this show, really, with Ryan Cozy, who's the pastor of Missional Living at the Chapel. And the context of this show is Christ Together for Western New York. And it's how the Church of Western New York is coming together to help bring Christ to the people of Western New York. That's the simple message of what this show's about. And we're trying to highlight some of the issues, some of the people who are making this happen, some of the churches that have come together to form Christ Together of Western New York and to pool resources together for gospel saturation. That's the quick elevator pitch of what we're doing here. And we have Dan Trippi in studio today. He's the pastor of Restoration Church in Buffalo, and some really great things happening, Dan, with your church and what's going on there, and Pastor Jim Murphy mm-hmm. Coming to Western New York from Houston, and God working in some great ways to bring him here. But I want to talk about, because you're bringing him to Western New York, obviously to help Restoration Church, but you're also bringing him for the Church of Western New York to benefit, as he's such an evangelist. Tell us about sharing of resources and how that's so different now.
Sure. You know, this is something that that Dwight Smith really instilled in me, was this idea that don't come here and plant a church, but steward a vision for a region. So we try to look at everything, and I would say we, but churches in the Christ Together Network, starting mm-hmm. to look at the region and going, hey, let's lead with open hands and open hearts. And if the church down the street succeeds, that's a win for our church. So when you start to think like that, you start to look at everything. You look at
instead of competition, or they're taking money from me, or congregants right. from me.
See, this is the thing about saturation that is it's a game changer, right?
Right.
All of a sudden, if your people, I say your people, God's people right, that he's entrusted right. you with, if they're sharing the gospel in their circle of accountability, and those people that come to the Lord in conversion, they shake out and they end up at Community of Grace Church down the street, or mm-hmm. Christian Fellowship Church down the street from us, we're happy. We're right. excited. And because of that, we see that, we go, all right, well, we have a responsibility then with whatever the resources that God's put in our hands to make those available. So as it relates to people resources, of course, Jim is coming here and we never have thought about Pastor Ed Cuffell on our team. He does counseling and he's some teaching and he's leveraged for the church. So our congregation kind of understands and knows, hey, we're not here just for us.
Right.
We're here for the region.
You understand that this is very different from what church for many years has looked like in Western culture because, you know, it's scary. It really is a step of faith. And here's why, is because pastors, their employment depends on their church budget. Just to be, I mean, just be straight up and honest, like, and so they've been afraid to lose people, to lose giving, to be open-handed with other churches, because it's like, oh, then I'm not going to be able to pay my bills and I've got a family to feed and this is what I do for a living. But the freedom that it allows God to work in your church and allows God to supply resources is huge, isn't it?
It is. And I mean, we look at the New Testament, right? We look at when Paul was planting churches around the Mediterranean, when there was a need, they were actually able to go to other congregations and say, hey, there's a need in Jerusalem. Can we take up an offering for that?
Yeah.
When we start to think about that, I say it's a game changer. And I think it, unique to Western New York, maybe, but not unique to the world. I mean, if we were in India, if we were in China, if we were in some of these other areas where they realize it's that bad, mm-hmm. where Christians realize it's that bad,
right?
They start to work together. And I think what's happening in Western New York is we start to look at the numbers, we look at the lostness, and churches are waking up to go, it's that bad.
Mm.
It's that bad. We need to be about the full evangelization of our region. And when you start to think that way, it's really hard to justify building your own personal fiefdom.
It really is. That's a great word for it, and a strong word, but a great word, because I really honestly believe, as you eloquently said better than I could, that it allows God to be at the core of it and allows God to bless churches and God to carry the burden of your congregation, because you're focused on the right things. And it's freeing, isn't it?
It
is. As a pastor, it's freeing.
Yeah, somewhere along the line, we got this idea that it was my church.
Yeah.
This is his Jesus church. He said, I will build my church. He's got it.
Wow.
And we just need to walk in faith with that.
It's so true. Mm. Ryan, how do you see still challenges with, pastors kind of being able to live this way? Just, and I'm not speaking of any one person, because sure. I don't want to offend anybody. I'm just saying, like, in general, like, it's really hard for them to become a part of something like the Christ Together Network in some cases, isn't it?
Yeah. So, I mean, there are definitely folks where there's this, Cialdini, who is a psychologist, he talks about what your click were response, what's your immediate response.
Mm-hmm.
And, some people, their immediate response is, it's a threat.
Yeah.
And so what I have found to be most helpful is if you will walk in relationship with them, you'll have coffee with them. You'll have a meal with them. You'll disarm them with relationship. They'll open up to you. I'll tell you, I've had pastors just open up about, the pressure of leading a church of 80 people, financial pressure.
Right.
That's real. That's the Northeast. Buffalo, New York, is that there are many men and women that are leading churches under the sound of my voice right now. That is my present reality.
Yeah.
And so you can't not hear that and empathize with it. You must exercise a sensitivity toward that.
Yeah.
And I've just found that it's very important to walk in relationship, and it's all the more important to walk in relationship with people when you try to cross contexts, when you go from suburban to urban, or urban to rural, or suburban to rural,
denomination.
Or denomination, yeah. Which we'll, we've got that set up for, a couple weeks from now. But, you must walk in relationship with people, because if it's transactional, if partnership is transactional in nature, there is always a moment where you need the benefit of the doubt. Like, this person did this.
You do.
I've got to trust them.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. If you don't have a relationship with them and it's just transactional, you don't have the benefit of the doubt. And so Dan and I, like, we've had phone calls like, hey, this happened. What was going on there? Can you help me understand that? Like,
We'll talk later, Dan.
Yeah.
Figure out what's wrong with them.
Yeah. It's like, well, we have a relationship. So we can talk about that. Hey, I'm a little confused here. You don't have that relationship.
And that's interesting because, Dan, you've benefited. This hits home to you. You're on both sides of it. Yeah. You've benefited as a church planner in Western New York from churches who've given to you and helped you with resources, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. We stand on the shoulders of the chapel. We stand on the shoulders of eight other churches that came together and helped us plant. And that was nationally. So that's incredibly humbling. And with that comes a great responsibility too. So, you know, if church planters are out there who are taking support or who are, you know, right now soliciting support, need to understand there's a great responsibility in that to live and give back to that. So
do you think I want to bring it home to maybe there's someone driving home today from church that's listening that maybe had a great service or whatever. Do you think that this is beneficial to people who give of their time, their talent, their treasure to the local church to see that it's now becoming a part of something bigger than just what their context sees?
Oh yeah. I mean, when the light goes on for some of the folks that, you know, call the chapel home. Mm-hmm. So I can speak to our local context. We have a presence in Cheektowaga, a presence in Lockport, presence in, you know, Gettysville, Amherst area. Yeah. You can see when the light goes on for folks. And I will tell you this, the light going on in our discipleship initiatives, like when people realize this is what the chapel is positioning itself to do, we feel led by the Lord to do that. And they realize like their role as a disciple and above and beyond that, the commitment of the local church that they call their home is pursuing that. It's an incredibly exciting moment, and it's galvanizing.
What do you mean by galvanizing?
There's momentum that comes from it.
Everything you just said,
there's momentum that comes from it. Like people begin to see like the royal we. Yeah. Is truly the Church of Western New York. Like we're a part of the royal we. Mm-hmm. Now, do we have way more work to go? You better believe it. We do. But the royal we today versus the royal we of 10 years ago, it's different. Yeah. And God, we stay faithful. We keep our hand on the plow. We envision people toward this end. And when the light goes on for folks, it's a special time. It helps you to feel like your labor is not in vain.
Really? You know? Yeah, right. Yeah. You're seeing some results from a number of years where you weren't sure if this was going to work or if people were going to get on board with working together.
Absolutely.
For the mission. Yeah. Did you have something, Dan?
Just going to add to that. Yeah, I think our people who call themselves Restoration are incredibly proud to be a part of something that's, we're a smaller congregation, but we feel like we're part of something bigger. And our people feel proud, and it's a great way to be a part of that, what God's doing regionally.
I will say this, even from my own experience growing up, I grew up in a Baptist church, great church with great people, but very, kind of very inward focused and not necessarily involved in a lot of what's going on. And it took like a leadership change and kind of some new ideas and some new thinking to become engaged in what's going on. And part of it is it's attractive. To people who have been a part of a church maybe that's similar, that just kind of does their own thing because they want to be safe, because they're worried about, someone with different theology influencing their people and leading them astray. Because mm-hmm. if I'm a partner with them, well, maybe they'll go check out their church, and then maybe they'll say something that makes them question their faith. Like, there's all these fear factors, right? Mm-hmm. But then there's this momentum that gets carried forward once people start engaging and things start happening, and you kind of sit on the sidelines in a church, like, and you go, all of a sudden the train's leaving and you're trying to catch it. Mm. And I think it's almost like this exponential effect or snowball effect, I guess, where it just starts building and building and building. And then God begins to really just explode it. Just kind of like what we talked about, what he did with the New Testament church.
Yeah.
And I'm really looking forward to what God has. Now, there's a pastor group meeting together, right? That happens how often, guys?
Well, we've been trying to meet quarterly. Right. To be honest, this year we lost a very instrumental part of our team in Pastor Daryl Largis. Mm-hmm. And so just with some of those shakeups early on in the year for us, We haven't been able to gather together as much as we like, but there we have and we can talk about this at another time, but we have an arm of the Church of Western New York that's passionate about planting churches. We've gathered twice this year. We're gathering again in September. That's an incredibly exciting story to be a part of. Dan and I are both part of the leadership of that. And I believe that there's a desire to gather the whole partnership base of the Church of Western New York in its current form. I believe in October of this year, we'll gather again. Mm-hmm. And so, there, you know, it takes time, a lot of one-off meetings, a lot of coffee, a lot of meals together. But there definitely is a different synergy today than there has been a number of years ago. And mm-hmm. I'm just incredibly excited about it.
It's got to be interesting from you guys being in leadership of pastors coming together to plant churches and different ideas and different models. And then all the, I'll call them characters, but all the different people that pastors are
you can call them characters.
Sometimes pastors are funny dudes, yeah. Right? And so like pulling everybody into a room with different things. Boy, a friend of mine who's now with Jesus, his name was Brent Gustafson, used to be the president of NRB, which is the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. And he said it was like herding cats to get everybody together and everybody moving forward on the same thing. And that's got to be what it feels like, isn't it?
Yes, I guess sometimes. But I would just say the momentum that comes out of it. Like there's times where, to be honest, I can look around a room and I can see the diversity of that room growing. I can see the willingness of the people in the room growing, and it's hard not to get emotional about it, you know, and you know, there's times where I just step out, I get choked up, and I go, Lord, please help us to steward this well. You are obviously resonating in the hearts of a lot of folks at the same point in time. Lord, I don't want to screw this up. In whatever leadership you've given me, I don't want to screw this up. Help me to steward this moment well for your glory.
The cool thing is, I think when you pray that, you actually won't screw it up because you're asking him not to let you screw it up.
Yeah. Right. Some people might think I screwed it up.
That's subjective.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Yeah, ultimately, Brett, you know, you think about it, the most, and we're a quirky bunch.
Yeah.
No doubt. Pastors are a quirky bunch, but we're not in this, you know, or we should not be in this for anything but the mission.
Right.
So when we gather around the mission and the mission becomes central, all of a sudden some of that other stuff starts to shed itself and you're going, hey, we're, you know, many of us came from a business background, whatever, and we left that to do this.
Right.
We did that because we were so compelled by Jesus's words to go. And most of the men that connect in our circle, at least, that's why they're there.
Yeah.
So that kind of shakes out some of the...
Right. Thanks, Dan, for sharing that with us today. You know, it is great to see men who have left maybe what they were doing in their calling to follow what Christ has for them, what God has for them, to be on mission with him. That's Dan Trippi. He's the lead pastor of Restoration Church right here in Buffalo. Dan, what's your website? I don't think we gave that out earlier.
www.restorationbuffalo.com.
Restorationbuffalo.com to get more information about Restoration Church, a great church involved with Christ Together Network. My co-host today, Ryan Cozy. Ryan is the pastor of Missional Living at the Chapel, also heads up the local expression of the Christ Together Network in Western New York and everything that's happening there. Ryan, thanks for coming in again today and being a part. Next week, John Longwell, Josh Hamlin, two pastors from two different contexts. We're going to talk about some of the issues. It's kind of, they're going to get in a fist fight, I think, maybe. I don't know.
Feats of strength will happen.
No. Great guys who are beginning to work together in the Tonawanda area. And we're going to talk about how just different contexts of churches can come together, find common ground, even though we disagree on certain theological third tier kind of things, but find common ground and work together for the sake of gospel saturation in Western New York. This is Christ Together Radio. Thanks for joining us. I'm Brett Larson. We'll see you next week. If you want to get in touch with us this week, it's ctr@wdcxradio.com. If you have any questions, or go to the WDCX website and look for Christ Together Radio. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening to Christ Together Radio. To join in, email Brett and Ryan at ctr@wdcxradio.com. Join us next week for more great discussion about Christ together.